Back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Clayton Duffy, Mike Carmen from the Lafayette Journal and Courier, talking a bunch of Purdue basketball and football today. We're going to jump back into the football, and I have a feeling there might be some Bears talk coming up here as well, as we bring in Nate Barrett from the Purdue Post Game Show on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Good afternoon, Nate. How you doing, buddy?
Gentlemen, good to be with you today.
Good to be with you. How's your week been, man?
Fast. I've had to travel a little bit for work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so haven't been back in the office too long. Ready for some football, though.
So do you and Mike, do you guys want to jump into Bears talk right this second, or do you want to hold that till the end? What do you want to do?
No, yeah, we'll hold it to the end. He's the expert. He's the expert on the Bears, but I am rooting for the Monsters of the Midway to be more competitive throughout the season, and I think it's good for the NFL when the Bears are good.
I concur.
I knew you would.
There's my hot take.
All right, Nate, that's all we need, buddy.
Thanks so much, guys. It's a pleasure.
So you mentioned about your eagerness and curiosity about this game coming up on Saturday. What's kind of piqued your interest about the Eagles and the Boilers Saturday?
Well, there are, a number of interesting things. Just I tend to be more fascinated with, general program moment, general program direction. Alan and I spend so much time on the post game trying to, to gauge the feeling of the fan base. And, we tend to gauge it by a number of calls we receive in terms of interest. Are they checked in? And we actually had a really good night. In the old days, we used to do the show as a kind of a pre-game on the night. This year, after game one, we switched that in the Missouri game to a regular post game show format. So, Alan and I come on 12:45 or 1 in the morning, and you're wondering what you're going to get, yet we had a great show with good 7 or 8 callers in the hour. And so the fan base is still engaged very much. I think Jeff Brohm and his coaching staff gave this program a heck of a ride last year and totally recalibrated what fans and I'm sure a lot of media thought, yet lurking out there, those that follow it as close as Mike does know that you're still overcoming some years of some not so great recruiting and there's lack of depth in a number of spots and that there's some maturity out there that has to come up another notch. Purdue is second in the league in penalties coming into this game. And we've all seen that. We know that. But yet that's staring you right in the face. And then you walk in with an opponent coming in here riding pretty high with a lot of confidence. They finished last season strongly. They've started out very well this season. They can beat you a number of ways, and a couple of good pass rushers on both sides of the defensive line and both end spots. And so this is a real challenge for Purdue, who desperately needs a win.
All right, Nate. Purdue has a bad record. They're 0-3, which is a bad record. You can't get around that. But based on your observation, based on what you're hearing from the fans, and when you're out in a community, Do you get a feeling that people view this as a bad football team?
I don't think that they're ready to say that yet. I think a lot of people learned a lesson from when they were 4-6 last year and what they were able to do in those last three games, especially the upset win at Iowa to keep them in contention for a bowl. I think, though, Mike, that you can. I don't think it's at all a pivot point on Brohm going forward. Everyone's aware of the recruiting class he has coming, but it's a pivot point for the season. If you get through the first quarter of it and you're 0-4, I think the fan base, of course, is salivating at this point for something to grab a hold of on this season to believe in. And you looked at the schedule coming in. I think everyone felt. I've listened to some of your podcast, Mike. I don't think anyone anticipated 0-4.
Oh no!
And so, So I mean, it is what it is. But get this last one and begin that climb, and then we saw that Nebraska is very human, and so see what you can do to build some momentum. And I think there are those out there that would say, is Jeff Brohm and this staff capable of winning 6 out of 9? Yeah, I mean, they showed us last year that. The way they play the game, the way he strategizes, they're capable of that. And the players were shown last year to believe in what they're doing. But as you know, as the losses mount up, it gets increasingly more difficult, and you question yourself more each week. So for all those reasons. You know, Purdue, I think their fans felt a lot, as bad as it was, you didn't feel as bad leaving there, and I think the callers were not as, in many ways, were not as rattled as they were after the Eastern Michigan loss.
Nate Baird with us from the Purdue postgame show on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And Nate, I'm curious, on the postgame show, did anyone call in and ask about that possibility of Purdue allowing Missouri to score there late just so Purdue could get the ball back and possibly win the game? And what do you think fans' reaction would be if that type of scenario, you know, pops up again here this season?
That's a good question. You know, I don't remember it coming up. You know, there was a lot of talk about penalties. There was a lot of defense of David Blough, and in terms of, you know, more talk about what do you do going forward? Is it Sindelar? Is it Blough? And all that talk, and what a performance that David put together.
Sure.
You know, I think Brahm and Mike was in the room in the post game, didn't he touch on that Missouri kind of pulled up there and set up for that field goal when the way they were moving it, I think you had a pretty clear feeling they could have gone in and scored a touchdown there. That didn't really come up, Clayton. I think what did come up was a lot of comments like, I liked the way they fought. I think they liked, with the exception maybe that fourth down call where Purdue throws out to the side there, I think they liked the game that Brahm called. And I think that, as by Jeff's own admission in the post game, they played to win. And I don't think people felt like they had their foot on the gas the same in the Eastern Michigan game. So I think there's a lot of the fans that don't fault Purdue's effort in any way, especially when they got down 17 and came back.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing right now is, you know, when it was 27-10, it could have turned into 55-17 in a hurry, and in previous regimes, that's what it did. So yeah. I think they have that part down. It's just eliminating, as you've mentioned, and I'm sure your callers have touched on, you know, those big mistakes, those or the little mistakes, just the penalty. To me, the biggest mistake of the game from a penalty standpoint was the offsides on the punt. Because it cost you time. It cost you time. Yeah. Even though you got an interception four or five plays later, it cost you time. And if the game plays out like it did, then you've got some time at the end of the game to maybe tie the game with a field goal or win it, even though you don't have any timeouts. So you eliminate one of those plays or two of those plays a game, and then you're in a much favorable situation. And I think the effort is there. They didn't play hard a lot in the first game against Northwestern in the first half. You know, whatever happened against Eastern Michigan happened, but I think they're back. But I do think there's a bit of a danger that close loss, close loss, close loss, what happens if a game gets away from them? And Brahm's history is it won't, but what happens to this team if a game like Saturday or down the road here just gets out of control?
That's a very good question. Very good question to consider. I know you look at everything on Boston College, and you know they're going to be a lot. They're a different team than Missouri in many ways, but they can score a lot of points. And they you know they're sixth in the NCAA in offense right now. So you know with a serious runner in Dillon. So I think Purdue's going to have to be ready again to. Yeah, could David throw for 572 again? Or they're going to run the ball a little more, but I mean, you're going to have to keep up here. Number one, and to stay with these guys, and then two, you know, avoid beating yourself. Purdue's also not been able to get off the field. They're allowing teams to convert on third down on them with too much frequency. Purdue's one of the lower teams in the league in terms of interceptions. Purdue has to find a way to get some turnovers too. And that's not been a strong suit early on. And last year they were able to get some takeaways at key times.
All right, Nate, I'm going to give you and Mike a minute or so here for some Bears talk. So go right ahead, Nate. What's your thoughts on what you saw earlier in the week and then going out to the desert this weekend?
Well, I had to travel, as I said, early in the week.
Yeah.
And a fellow I was having dinner with said, I got to get home for the Bears. And, you know, I think – in all seriousness, it's better for the NFL when they're good, and they're off to a very good start. And you know, you look at their division, and I don't see why the Bears can't make a real run this year in the NFC. I don't know if it matters down the stretch. But, I mean, Bears for the playoffs. I mean, let's go. Let's say it.
Yeah, why not?
Like why not?
When they made the Khalil Mack trade, you know, I'm listening to the experts in Chicago. They're like, okay, now this is a 7 or 8 win team. I'm like, come on. Come on. Let's go a little bit higher than that.
I think the thing that Chicago's always had, and we talk around here about Purdue was missing billboard players for a couple of years. I mean, the Bears, when you go to a Bears game as much as any in the NFL, you're going to see a lot of jerseys, and they've had that, you know, those billboard guys, those legendary guys. You know, Mac could be really special for them. And I think when you've seen great Chicago teams, everybody, even casual fans, can name the two or three Bears that are on that team and make a difference. Urlacher, you know, being the last one. So I think you build it around a special player or two defensively, and then get the offense to come along. And that's usually in Chicago, that tends to be the recipe. Is it starts defensively with a great player.
Here's what I like about the Bears team right now: the defense looks good, looks solid. You've got playmakers there. You made the trade you needed to make. You've got some young talent there as well. But what I'm really kind of excited about is, you know, in the past, you always had a defensive-minded head coach. That I'm not saying they didn't care about the offense. It's just that's the way it was. Now you have an offensive guy as your head coach. He's going to push that offense, and he's going to push Trubisky and make that offense hum at some point, where you're going to have a high-level offense and then a high-level defense, and then you've got a great combination right there.
Well said, as only a true Bears fan would put it. You know, when they're strong both ways, I think, you know, the true Bears fan, if they get really winning, will say, somewhere in the background, Ditka's calling the plays.
Correct. Right.
He's involved somewhere below the radar.
He's worth one a game. It's usually a touchdown.
That's right. Or he's involved on some level if they win big.
Of course. He's undefeated since he quit coaching.
That's right. It goes without saying. Well, I'm going to do more Bear prep for next week, knowing that since Carmen's up being on here every Friday, this is going to be an important segment of this show. So I'll do a little more Bears homework, have some insight for you next week.
All right. Nate Barrett, Purdue Post Game Show, Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Thanks, Nate, for all the information, man. We will see you tomorrow. Hey, reminder, stop by University Bookstore tomorrow for the Boiler Game Day, and we'll get you on talk some more tomorrow.
We'll do it, fellas. Thanks for having me, and what a big game it is.
No doubt about it. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Nate.
See ya. Bye.
Nate Barrett, Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. When we come back, we'll have our Roars of the Day. So don't go away. It's the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7TheHammer.com.